Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Will Lucas, and this is Black Tech Green Money. Blast, Victor Burnett, and Carl Folks are the business and creative minds behind Eagle, an LA-based company which houses a record label, production company, publishing company, and investment arm. Blast is a rapper, singer, and producer. Victor Burnett is Blast's manager and serves as president of Eagle. And Carl Folks is an entertainment attorney and co-founder at Eagle. The progressing world of technology provides new opportunities and new risks for artists. With that said, so many artists know how to do great creative work, but didn't always know how to make a living at doing it. How does this changing landscape of tech provide those opportunities in a much easier way?
Yeah, I think it's getting easier to create music, right? I think, you know, AI as a tool has been there for the past, however many amount of years. So making music is a quicker process. You know, guys don't have to leave their bedroom. You know, Blast is an example of that. You know, a lot of the music that he makes is creation process. He can make the beat, you know, engineer it, mix and master, not leave his house, right? So that the quickness and the speed in which that, you know, music can be uploaded and created allows for that to be a smaller piece of the creative process, right? You create a song, you can do that very quickly. And, you know, now you can handle all the other stuff out there, you know, developing merch, editing your video, working on, operating your team. So I just think the way that music is created right now allows for, efficient creation of music.
And to that point, Victor, he talked about the other opportunities that are available to artists, the merch and et cetera, and those brand partnerships even. do artists need to be able to develop that skill set on their own, or are the partnerships with people who know how to do that more important?
I mean, you know, it's, I feel like every artist who is that you will deem organic is really like true to their characteristics. And I think that like the branding factor of it, even with Blast early on, like we really leaned on a lot of stuff that Blast was like. He was vegan. He is a producer. So it was able us to lean in on the Rollins and on different food companies and like sustainable food outlets to be able to like go in and make sure that the brand was still cohesive and still true to self. But at the same time, it still made sense from an advancement standpoint. I mean, everything I would say in this world has to be mutually beneficial at a certain point, right? And so whether one person, whether a company is actually giving dollars, or whether that it's an artist, or whether it's an influencer giving their influence, it's an exchange of something. It always is in capital. So I think from the root of it, when it comes down to the branding and marketing of it, when you really get down to the organic nitty gritty part of the artist, I think that when you actually see that through, that's the best tactic to be able to obtain those brand partnerships. Obviously, you step outside of that when you start to get into the different alcohol brands and stuff like that, NBA partnerships. But just as the core of it, setting that foundation, I feel like that's a great place where we started.
Yeah, I love a couple of things you said there. And I want to pitch this to you, Blast. I've heard so many artists talk about how they may not need a label these days because they can build a fan base for themselves. And but there's still another side of that argument, where you talk about, well, the reason record labels were who they are was, Victor just mentioned that they had that advancement of capital and the ability to create superstars. So I wonder what your thoughts are on, you know, what the opportunities and landscape looks like for artists to be able to both provide resources to create their art and to get a bigger footprint in the marketplace.
Well, I think it's a case-by-case scenario. You know, some artists thrive with major labels. Some artists thrive independently. Some artists don't. You know, for me, I wanted to build my leverage first. And with that was investing in myself, learning my craft, whether that be bargaining with my art versus spending my actual financial dollars, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know. It's so many channels where you can empower yourself now, to where you can learn the business as you grow within the business and not have to really just rush into just because of the dollar amount, you know?
I'm going to stick with you on this, Blast. Like, I wonder, like, what lack of education or lack of knowledge stood in between artists previously to the opportunities that we have today, to realizing the value of their craft instead of somebody else realizing the value of their craft?
I would say access, social media, you know, it's a easier way to get direct to your consumer now. We have platforms like DistroKid where you can upload straight from your phone and see the stats, see the results. So people are wanting to become their own boss nowadays. It's like, why would I have to wait on the middleman when I can go direct to it myself? You know, these different platforms are allowing artists to connect with their fan base, and it's really, you know, knocking these corporations down quickly. We see it happening every day.
You know, Vic, I want you to chime in on this. I listen to people like Kevin Lyles talk about the need for labels and the place that labels have in the world. And then I hear Steve Style talk about, you know, you don't necessarily need that. And in some ways you may feel like a Kevin Lyles is fighting for his life and fighting for the life of labels. And Steve Style obviously has his own bend. And there's other people having these conversations as well, but these are the people that first come to my mind. And so I wonder what you think about this. Like, is the argument that labels present that, you know, they can create superstars and they provide that advance, is that strong enough for people to be able to continue to want that, to go that route and give up that ownership?
Yeah. I don't think it is in this day and age, right? Like, you look at different examples and you like, okay, is making a superstar making a strong businessman? That those things don't always correlate. And so in the world that we live in now, I think it's about being able to collect in a mass of abundant assets, you know? And when you think about abundant assets, that doesn't have to deal with tangible money. It could be a consultant on your team. It could be a piece of art in your house. But these are all different things that can allow you to spread your wings a little bit further and be like, okay, now I got a little bit more liquidity. I got some investments on my wall. I may have somebody to call to talk about an investment, to talk through these things that they've already been through. And it just kind of gives you that autonomy to really be like, okay, I don't look at myself, or we don't look at ourselves as a music label. We're looking at this as a startup company. But that's what it all goes back to, is like, what does that company look at themselves as? What are their bottom line objectives? And where are they trying to be at December 31st at the end of every year? You know what I mean? So it's really like a gut check for everybody personally, to be honest with you, because I know everybody doesn't have the same morals and values. Just like Blast was speaking on earlier, the major label system may be right for some people, right? Like, some people may just catch a hit that they probably won't never catch again, and they got to cash in and they got to strike while the iron's hot, right? And that's a case-by-case basis. But at the end of the day, when it comes down to, like, young individuals like me, Blast, and Carl, we're very much so in the space of expanding vertically and being able to expand horizontally. And that's just branching out into different fields to make sure that we using this leverage that we do have right now coming through this entertainment industry.
Yeah, and I'm going to come back to this conversation of vertical integration, because I think it's really important in the particular business model you guys have. But I want Carl to jump in on this, because I feel like, you know, there's a case to be made for people, to Victor's point, of maybe the label route works for you. Matter of fact, you thought independent was good for you, but actually you need to take this label deal because of these other factors. And I wonder how you help people think through that.
Yeah, you know, I always talk about, there's a legal strategy I developed called LOMO, right? And LOMO is simple. It means length, ownership, money, and obligation, right? Kind of just your four pillars of a contract. So you might want a shorter contract. So that's length. You might want, you know, a smaller project deal, maybe one or two projects. Your money, right? That might be the biggest factor. Then ownership, obviously. So I think as an artist, you know, you got to kind of prioritize those things. For some people, maybe the art that they're creating doesn't have that 20-year longevity cycle, right? So maybe ownership isn't the priority for them. They want to get the money now so they can get out the music industry 5 to 10 years. Some people say, hey, I don't want to work. I don't want to release, you know, 5 albums with that label. You know, I want a shorter deal so I can maybe go build my own stuff. So I think really just prioritizing LOMO, right? And, you know, whether it be length, whether it be obligation, your money or your ownership, That empowers, I think, an artist to make the right decision, because you're not going to get all four of those things. You know, that's the perfect deal. So just ranking those things.
Yeah, just because we're having this conversation in the mainstream, there are so many artists these days or the news of artists coming out that are selling their masters or selling their publishing. Why is that happening with some of our biggest artists, to where they're taking a bigger payday today versus something else?
Yeah, I think, you know, just like any other asset, right? When you build a startup or you buy a piece of property, you know, eventually, you know, the goal is to sell it, right? If you buy real estate for $30,000 and, you know, it's on the market now for $5 million and, you know, whatever that X is, you know, that's a real win. And I think what Vic was kind of alluding to earlier about kind of that gut check and knowing who you are, a lot of these assets are being built by one or two or three people, right? Really small teams, an artist and a manager, maybe the label's involved. But if we can spend more time dedicating a real staff to some of the assets that are already going for a lot of money, I think we could 3x, 4x those returns, right? We don't have dedicated people on these assets. So I actually think that's the next stage for hip hop.
And Blast, I want to throw this to you, because Victor talked a little bit about, and, you know, Carl also mentioned this, you know, the idea of the artist being a business in so many respects. And it makes me think of something Kanye has said a couple of years ago with, you know, artists should have CEOs. And I wonder what your thoughts are as an artist and as somebody who produces for other people. How do you think about the business of artistry today and creativity today versus how we used to think about it historically?
Man, first and foremost, I got to give it up to Carl and Vic when it comes to even leveraging me to still be a creative, because I'm a creative at heart at the end of the day. And they allowed me to learn the business at a pace that's, you know, not too high information, not too low information. But I think it's valuable to be your own boss in your own right at the end of the day, you know. So, you know, with our situation with Red Bull, that was the deal structure that was presented for me to learn, you know, take the stairs instead of the elevator. And it's valuable, you know, it gives you a peace of mind when you know that your financial situation is solid, and you're still able to create with a clear mind. I think that's the most important thing that artists overlook sometimes.
Yeah, I love that you brought the Red Bull deal, because Vic, I was reading a previous interview that you did, and I want you to chime in on this. And you had said when it was time to sort out a music partnership, you guys stood firmly on vertical integration. I told you I was going to come back to this, which, and a lot of people, a lot of labels were like, you know, that's, we're not even here for that. But you knew hip hop at the hip hop space at Red Bull was irrelevant. And with Blast being a self-made creative and you wanting to see a label, what other label could do for you other than just distribution, that's how you got to Red Bull. So talk about how that deal was put together and the importance of that deal to his career and the, you know, success of your business.
Yeah, for sure. So I think on the first half of it, just when it came to talking points, before it even got to a long form, anything like that, right? It was just us establishing the precedent of what I mentioned earlier. Like, this is a mutually beneficial relationship. Red Bull, me and Blast are from Los Angeles, California. So it's like their office is implanted in our hometown, but at the same time, they have no affiliation with anybody in our hometown. You know, so at the end of the day, we understood, like, Red Bull does so many different things, and they're a vertically integrated company themselves, being a private company this long and not going to the stock market. That's actually crazy in itself. So it's like, you know, when I say, like, organicness just kind of bleeds over, we seen something similar in that business model as well that we wanted to instill in ours. So it's kind of like the spook we sat by the door. Like, you go in and into these places and really, like, study the business model and see what you can take from it to add on for the future. But I think on the second half of it, when it came down to that deal structure, I would give a lot of that credit to Carl bringing a lot to our plate and really challenging us with a lot of these deal points, how this stuff was structured, and what he said, the LOMO, like, that was really a factor in every single part of negotiation and how we got to where we got to.
Yeah, Carl, chime in on that if you could.
Yeah, I mean, I think honestly, you know, Blast kind of cited, you know, me and Vic kind of, you know, helping him focus on the music. But, you know, what I will say is, you know, I think he has really, really good business instincts, right? You know, this is a person who kind of knew he wanted to keep the art pure and wanted to be able to create at his speed and at his level and kind of do what he wanted, right? So just knowing that, you know, that's a totally different conversation than maybe, hey, let's talk to a record label, get a big check, here are the albums that are committed. That's totally different, right? Because now there's a different level of responsibility, and, you know, you got to protect the artist's integrity. So for him, just to kind of say, hey, these are the things that are important for us, you know, Red Bull met us at the door, and, you know, they've been gracious partners, and, you know, and they've allowed Eagle and Blast to own and kind of learn with the training wheels on. I think, you know, that was really important for us. We were 20-something-year-old entrepreneurs, right? So that was really important to us.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with you, Carl, on this. I wanted to dig deeper on this partnership with a Red Bull and other partnerships that may come down the line. So often we have these conversations about, hey, we have this asset or we have this personality, and who out there in the world is great to marry with this personality to help amplify it, create activations, and et cetera. How did you know Red Bull was the right partner for you guys? Obviously, you knew that they had something to give you, but how did you know that you had something to provide them as an asset?
Yeah, I think we all, Vic Blast and I, all sort of talked about the different verticals of Red Bull that cans in every venue across the globe. So, like, you know, when we go to London or we go to Paris or we go to these places, Red Bull already has a relationship in those markets. And that was important to us. And then, you know, F1 is, you know, the Red Bull F1 team, and all these other, you know, the X Games and snowboarding and all those things that I think a lot of people, a lot of labels probably couldn't offer access points to. That's just the reality of it. So I think outside of Red Bull Records, right, and whatever, you know, all that they could provide as a marketing partner and, you know, a financer, Red Bull as a company, you know, allowed us to kind of tap in ways that we were never going to probably have those resources or and it's, that's held true, I think, so far.
Yeah, what did you need to know about their objectives in order to make a pitch to them that makes sense?
I think that it kind of goes back to just like respect and appreciation, for Blast, first, and then for Eagle, right. As us, as executives, hey, you know, this is our long-term plan. You know, not only are we going to make sure Blast is set, but, you know, we got a business we're building called Eagle. And we do need some resources. We do need respect on that level. And they appreciated it. And, you know, they've been, again, solid partners up until this date. And, you know, we're bringing them talent. We're working together on new stuff. And, you know, it's been fruitful so far.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing. And of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. Oracle.com/strategic.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You know, there's so many artists who don't see themselves as brands, Victor. And when you think about even going back as far as like Run DMC with Adidas, and it was still a long time before people really caught on to what that meant. And even longer before we were able to capitalize on the understanding of what that meant. You talk about how brand partnerships are evolving, and for artists and brand for the artists and the brand and other creative verticals. So not maybe I'm not a rapper, but maybe I'm a painter. Maybe I am, you know, some other sort of creative, and how these relationships with brands that have products, consumer packaged goods, and et cetera, may be evolving over time.
I mean, I would say historically, hand-to-hand marketing has always been is always been the best way, just because I think the emotional factor of it is kind of hard for people to turn down a lot of stuff when it's in front of their face. That's probably half of it. But at the same time, you can really kind of like evoke emotion in person. But, you know, with social media, you kind of get not the same exact effect, but it's direct to consumer at this point. You know, like Blast was talking about earlier, you know, DistroKid, you can go straight on there and upload your song right away. Like, you really don't have to go sit outside a record label for 12 hours in the cold and then hopefully somebody come outside and you get somebody to play your song on the radio. Now, same thing with artists and painters and anything alike. You really have the space to be able to create whatever world you want. So when you come into talking to these brands, you're like, I'm a brand too. I'm no longer a person that's asking for a handout. I'm somebody that's here to barter my services. And this is more so a work for hire rather than you're just employing me as a person that you may see some type of talent that you can utilize. So, I mean, you know, a lot of those business models, I mean, they still exist, right? You got like the typical Disney stuff where they have the work for hire. You come in, they'll give you a standard check just to record some jingles and stuff like that. And if they own it, I mean, if they take it, they own it forever. But you do have so many more outlets to where it's like there's so many different sync opportunities now. That TikTok is a damn near sync opportunity at this point. So when you get down to those different spaces, you understand that the channels and the avenues are way wider than they used to be, and it's not as congested. And it's more, it's 1,000 ways to skin a cat rather than 100 ways to skin a cat, for real. So it's all about these leverage points, for real, for real. And that goes back to how we walked in the building and just understood our negotiation leverage when it came down to ownership. A big thing we always speak about is proof of concept. And across the board, we made sure that we have proof of concept, whether that be an employment factor, whether that be in a music distribution, recording videos, cover art, every single place we knew that we would have to fight for any type of ownership, we made sure that we showed proof of concept and did it at a high level as well.
You know, Blast, I want you to chime in on, you know, I used to spend some time in the music business and I used to hear producers talk about just particularly producers versus artists. They would talk about if you're trying to make it in this business as a producer, one of the best ways to do it was to find an artist and be that artist's producer, right? And to come in the game and build a repertoire that way. Like, you think about going back as far as like Nelly and the St. Louis, who's like, they had their own producer, and Drake came in with Ovia, like they had their producers. And I wonder what you think are some of the best ways for music producers to find their way in the game today. When you just got a song, you may just have a beat, may not have the lyrics to it. Like, how are some of the most effective ways today to find success as a music producer?
I think you hit it right on the nail, you know, creating your own world, your own ecosystem. I kind of did the same thing with being on Rodeo, which is an artist from LA as well. And we pretty much curated a new way for LA to where everybody's trying to mimic that sound, you know, but can't beat the originator for sure. But I think that's the best way for artists and producers. Well, for producers to come up, you know, making sure you link with that artist and just taking it back to the old days. We appreciate it when you hear that Timbaland, Justin Timberlake project because of that cohesiveness and that world that they brought you in and how they, you know, rolled out the entire project. It's better when two worlds collide together. So I think it's dope that producers are becoming brands of their own. And that's something I would consider.
Yeah, I want to go somewhere else with this, with you, Blast, and not to compare black music, because I love all black music, but I think about this progression of like Afrobeats and how Afrobeats is starting to find its way on the charts versus just traditional hip hop, which has dominated the charts for years. And I just want to know what you think about that, like how the proliferation of more types of black music is finding its way into the mainstream.
It's a beautiful thing. I think Afrobeats in general is just a universal language that we all just feel good whenever you hear, an Afrobeat. I don't know what it is, but something in that DNA is just make you want to dance. Yeah, I'm just excited to see where music is going in general. And I'm glad to be a part of it too. You know, I just produced a record on Burna Boy's last album. So, I got my foot in the Afrobeat world as well.
Yeah. Vic, I was reading an article again, and you were talking about how you came up in the game, and you were saying how in 2014 you saw that there was a big gap where a lot of artists didn't understand how to monetize their content. And what I think about is, what is some lower hanging fruit because you found a way to help local LA artists monetize their content and their creativity. I wonder what you think about what is lower hanging fruit artists who may be local celebrities in their neighborhoods or in their cities. What are some ways for them to monetize their content that they can take away from this episode to learn from what you did to help people fund their future creativity?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I had just got out of grad school, so I was already like doing like student teaching and stuff like that. So it was kind of like second nature for me to kind of sit down with different artists and go through these different content ideas and content distribution methods. I mean, one thing that me and Blast did early on that I think that kind of made us a little successful just as far as on the consistency side was we created a content calendar, and I was just making sure that it was consistent. It was consistent noise on the channel throughout the weeks, throughout the month, making sure that we had deadlines and markers to hit. But that also challenged you when you seen, like, I got a music video due in 3 weeks. One, where am I going to get this money from? And I got to start saving that money from somewhere. Two, how am I going to put the pieces together and organize all of this? But it's a constant reminder that it's like, okay, this is my social media channel is now really a channel. And I have to keep feeding these people. And rather the attention span is so short these days, it's like you got to keep feeding every time. And it's like to be able to do that at a high level, you also got to understand how to collect on the back end of that. And I think that just comes down to doing homework. Like, that's always my first advice. Like, don't be afraid to go and figure out and read what you're actually getting back from this, so that when you actually are strategizing prior to releasing this stuff, you know what numbers you're trying to hit, because you know what money that's going to make you back, and you know what your prime objective is. So I think that's the first part of it when they're talking about monetizing content. You just got to understand what you're trying to monetize first and foremost. But I think the lowest hanging fruit is people often go away from where they're celebrated and they like to go where they're tolerated. Hmm. And that's just more so from a mindset of trying to collect new fans, but not understanding that your fans that you have underneath you right now are the people that's going to really champion you and take and go to bat for you and really advertise your music. So the more you feed into your core fan base and build community, it makes it easier when you get to YouTube and you start distributing content and people under them comments really championing what you got going on, because they can attest to what that is. Same thing with Instagram, same thing with TikTok, same thing with people conversation on Twitter. So my bad for being a little long-winded, but that's definitely like my perspective on all of that.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carl, we've been having this conversation about the evolution of the music business, the evolution of distribution, and et cetera. And I want to talk to you about like the evolution of law when it comes to how we manage these things with creative industries. And I was reading an article where you said, you know, I think a lot of legal strategies are based on the industry that existed previously as opposed to the industry that will exist in 20 years that will include new tech and media. And I wonder if you were to put on your futuristic hat and you see the direction we're going in with blockchain, you see the direction we're going in with AI, you know, what are some of the things that you're paying the most attention to so that you can position your partners like Blast and Vic and et cetera, and even the people in the location that you guys run, which we're going to talk about, how do you position them best for the future?
Yeah, I think it's really about not being afraid of technology, right? I think law and technology and advancement, you know, those things kind of conflict. And I feel that now with the AI conversation. You're seeing that, you know, people taking now music, you know, everyone's afraid. It's really nothing. It just, this happens every 20, 30 years in the music business or just in business in general. Like there's a new medium or technology that comes into play that sort of makes things change, right? So embrace technology. You know, you have to learn how blockchain helps or hurts your business. You have to learn how AI can be used as a tool to make your workflow faster, to address creative block, all that good stuff, right? Because the bad stuff, we already know the bad stuff. People can make music faster. That's a good and a bad, right? So now there's, you know, the number that I hear often is like there's 60,000 songs a day being uploaded to Spotify. Right. Like, you know, so there is it is noisy. But who cares? Right. Like you stand out by, you know, being real in your community, you know, having stain, you know, all those things are still the same. So embrace technology. That's the legal strategy I have, because I'm looking at AI. I'm not afraid. I'm like, how can I even help it increase my legal productivity? Right. Because there's legal ChatGPT. There's legal tools that make my job easier. I'm not redlining anymore, right? I'm like, you know, let me put this in this technology. It makes our life easier. So I want people to think about technology that way.
Yeah, and let's go a level deeper there, because, you know, we talk about AI, and I'm sure you guys have heard like the fake Drake and the fake Weeknd record that came out a little bit ago, and how good it is at mimicking their voice. And I wonder, and I'm going to pitch this to all three of you guys because you all come from different perspectives on this. Where do you hope this goes with regards to protecting the artist, protecting their vocal impression, and et cetera? So I'll start with Blast.
I'm 50-50 with it. I can't lie to you. Where do I hope this goes? I mean, I hope we develop some type of system like Universal is talking about being able to take things down, you know. But it's kind of hard to really control your voice likeness, you know. Like somebody still can use it to ability to where they can, whether they can get clout off of it still, even if we do get to a point where we're able to take it down. Like, I think the kids are going to work it to where they still get a win out of it some way. So, I don't know. It's just something that, like Cross said, we have to embrace, but I'm excited to see how it unfolds. I'm kind of scared, though. I know he said, don't be scared, but I'm scared.
Yeah, Victor, I want to hear you on this.
I mean, to be honest with you, I'm all for embracing it, to be honest with you. I mean, it's kind of like it's an inevitable. You can't really, I mean, obviously there'll be measures to stop it and stop certain stuff eventually, but just like Blast said, like, it's always going to be a back end to something. That, like, there was a line wire, right? At a certain point, we was able to get this music free. And so it's just always going to be something a step ahead of technology that's going to allow, obviously, this AI, too, to make some different plays. But, I mean, on the side of, on the artistic side of it all, I think that it can give it a value similar to, like, real art. Like, when you see people start really mimicking these Basquiat paintings and all this type of stuff, it just drives the value of the original much, much higher. So, I mean, that may be a far-off concept right now, but I do think that it'll have some of that type of effect down the line.
And from a legal perspective, Carl, I hear a lot of people talking about, you know, these, we got to find some way to regulate these things, and I wonder what your thoughts are.
Yeah, it definitely feels like a regulation issue, right? You know, before someone's able to upload on the DSP, maybe whether it be the DSP having some responsibility to create technology that can trace that AI was used, right? Or maybe that's a question before it's uploaded, did you use AI, artificial intelligence or not? You know, you got to be able to, there has to be some sort of regulation around it. The reality, I've also been seeing some creative solutions, right? Like, you know, I saw Grimes, an artist, a very creative artist, you know, tweet out like, hey, you know, I don't care if you could use my voice, just I need 50% of the song, right? It's just, that's just a funny way to handle it. But like, then you start, your mind starts churning like, okay, like, you know, that song probably can't be copyrighted, but what if Drake is eating off that record, or Future's eating off the record, Universal's eating off that record? Definitely makes it a little less nerve-wracking, right? Because, you know, you kind of add it to your catalog. So just being open to those solutions, I don't think that is necessarily a solution, but that sounds a lot, I think a lot more artists and creatives and industry people would be a lot less afraid if they knew that, you know, they could get a cut off some of the music.
Yeah, and I want to end here because I know, like, education and teaching has been super important to you guys, and whichever of you is most intimately involved with, like, Rec Philly and et cetera, I'd love you to chime in here, because I think about the importance of community with regards to creators, and I would love to touch on, I would love you guys to touch on why, you know, wrapping community around creatives is so important.
Yeah, I'll start, and, you know, Blast or Vic want to hop on and chime in. But, you know, I grew up in the Philadelphia area. So the founders of Rec Philly are two of my buddies. I seen when Will and Dave started Rec Philly in a warehouse in North Philly, and they were bringing out, you know, real community leaders to that North Philly warehouse. And it was just awesome to see. Then you just see them get a new spot right in the heart of downtown. And, you know, they're a gym for creatives, right? So they have a podcast studio, multiple recording studios. They have co-working space. They have a store in the front of house. And then they also have a Live Nation stage. So we talked a lot about kind of the farm to table mindset in music, right? Meaning you can create all of the, you can release a song, develop your merch, connect with a graphic designer, and then perform the song later. Then you can meet other people in your community in that same space. Creatives really don't have those spaces, right? Like that, I can't think of, you know, maybe it's your local coffee shop. Maybe it's they've never had dedicated spaces like that to network naturally. So Rec Philly is a place that provides resources for creatives directly at a very reasonable and modest price. And you're seeing the model develop, right? They got Rec Philly, but, you know, now they're opening up Rec Miami later this year, in a round led by Diddy and obviously Eagle, we invested as well. So we're excited to help not just support that initiative, but, you know, really be a part of the education that they create.
I think the what we're doing with the VC firm is really just kind of like our proof in the pudding to what I was saying earlier about just us staying true to our origins. I mean, all three companies, Rec Philly, Cafe Erzuli, which is a company in Brooklyn, and then we getting into the live performance space as well with that. And then Chubby Snacks, which is a healthy, sustainable food product. So, you know, those are just all coming back to our core values. We're obviously involved in music and live performance space, but we're also involved in the teaching and the educational side of becoming an entrepreneur around this entertainment industry. And then we all know that in inner city communities, those are all food deserts. So it's like, why not invest into something that we can be able to have a part of giving back to our community, at least taking a step forward towards where we should be going.
Blast you.
I think an artist like Nipsey Hussle, like the legacies that the blueprint that he left behind, and you know, Carl and Vic always present opportunities like this, but for me, it's like, why wait till later to be active in your community? A lot of people wait till they like retire, or you know, when they get a certain amount of money to be able to invest back in their community. But I want to not only leverage my dollars, but leverage my likeness as well. Like, I know kids look up to what I'm doing right now, so it's like, let me be active and use my voice and use my presence to influence kids in the community to do something dope, like invest in a Rec Philly or invest in a healthy snack, that something that aligns with your integrity and what you represent. We represent a healthy lifestyle and education, so it goes hand in hand.
I love that. And I'm going to lead us with a question about Eagle Ventures specifically. And I think about Carl and Victor, which you guys want to take this. And so many investors have a thesis about, you know, we measure every potential investment against this future idea of the world. And I wonder what your if you have a thesis, an investment thesis, like what could you define it for us?
Yeah. I think really just bridging the gap between, you know, for us, you know, I think Blast has hit it. It's just bridging the gap between our community and a healthier lifestyle, right? And generational wealth, all those sort of things, right? So there's always going to be a community play to things that I think we invest in early. Not saying we wouldn't, you know, if someone's in a nice deck for a tech company that had a lot of upside, that we wouldn't invest in it. What I'm saying is, I think the backbone of who we are as a company, we want to stay true to. Vic said that several times, Blast mentioned that again, but how do we bring some of those resources and assets back to the community? And how can our people benefit from our investments? Not just us, you know, getting a 10x, 20x, 50x return, you know, has to be bigger than that. So, you know, we get Chubby Snacks to send out, you know, product all the time, you know, Rec Philly, you know, whenever we have people in Philly, we, you know, we can get them in the space and use all those resources. So that's kind of the ecosystem we want to create.
Black Tech Green Money's a production of Blavity Afrotech on the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartMedia. It's produced by Morgan DeBon and me, Will Lucas, with additional production support by Sarah Ergen and Rose McLucas. Special thank you to Micah Davis and Vanessa Serrano. Learn more about my guests and other tech disruptors and innovators at Afrotech.com. Enjoying Black Tech Green Money? Leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Go get your money. Peace and love. AT&T Connects, an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.